joining me on the line, Jan Vermeulen. Jan, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. I'm well. How are you?
Not at all bad. Thank you very, very much. Yeah, following the news and everything that is going on. Tell me, though, about WhatsApp. It's no longer supporting BlackBerry, Nokia.
Yeah. So this is an announcement that's come a long way, actually. And old WhatsApp, Facebook was saying, you know, that they no longer want to support these old platforms. Right. And so in particular, BlackBerry, like Windows Phone 7, right. BlackBerry and BlackBerry 10, and Nokia, the old Nokias, they were actually meant to stop support at the end of 2016. But then that got extended. I guess they realized how much of their user base was still on old feature phones and stuff, and old BlackBerries in markets like South Africa, and so they extended support once mm-hmm. to the middle of this year. So the 30th of June is when you know most of these things were set to cut off, and now it's extended it again. So BlackBerry will continue to work until the end of the year if they don't extend it again. They also announced that Nokia S60, I think Nokia S60 will stop now mm-hmm. on the 30th of June. And then Nokia S40, they've extended it until 2018. So it just shows you how important those old markets, especially the old BlackBerry and Nokia S40 devices are. To WhatsApp, that Facebook's agreed to extend support for those devices for quite a while, mm-hmm. Compared to December 2016 when they wanted to cut it all off.
But what would be the reason that they would want to cut it off at all? Is it because there's the technology is pulling further and further apart? Is it a pain? Is it complicated for them? You know, why would they ever need to stop support?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the only reason to stop support is because the cost of development on those platforms is no longer worth it. So each of those platforms mm-hmm. has to be supported individually. And so for Android and for iPhone, and to a degree BlackBerry 10 and Windows Phone, it provides you a far simpler way to write apps. You've got to do far less, device-specific customizations. Whereas in the old Java sphere of doing things, the Nokia S40s and so on, there's all kinds of headaches with supporting those old platforms still. And the other thing is, I can also imagine that there are plenty there are developers working on those projects that are going, you know what, I really want to stop developing this old stuff. Mm-hmm. I want to move on to newer technologies. And so you've got this relentless march of progress, the fact that it's costing you resources, human resources, technical resources to continue to develop all those platforms.
To support the five people that still have BlackBerries.
In this case, now this is now what this has shown is that it's not just five people. There are plenty of people in emerging markets like South Africa, like India, that are still on these platforms, and I can imagine in South Africa in particular, there are lots of people on BlackBerry who need to continue to use WhatsApp. And the danger for WhatsApp here is if they end support too quickly, is people might find another messenger.
Absolutely.
And in South Africa, I was just speaking about this to someone today. In South Africa, we're not brand loyal to platforms like WhatsApp. If WhatsApp stops working for the majority of people who use it tomorrow, and they start slowly and they switch to whatever is supported on their device, they'll do it. They'll switch to whatever works best and is the cheapest. As South Africans, we're not like we don't have warm fuzzy feelings towards WhatsApp. We use it because it's the best.
Right, I know, absolutely right. Is this true that Telkom is looking to buy ETV?
Yeah, apparently ETV says that, or according to the report, this is a Business Times report, there's a lot of people vying for ETV. And in fact, yeah, the holding company actually confirmed that a lot of people are looking to buy ETV, but no one's come with an offer that they find remotely attractive. And so, yeah, I think the hope the actual chances of ETV being sold to someone at this stage is slim, based on that comment.
Do you have any idea what type of money they're talking about?
No, unfortunately not. I mean, it'll be, I'm sure it'll be a couple of billion.
We're the Gupta email leaks when we need them. Has somebody offered it to the Guptas?
It'll be a couple of billion, but I suspect a telco is not going to value a broadcast business in the same way that a broadcast business does.
Yeah, interesting. So, I was actually wondering what the play is for a telecommunications company to buy a TV station.
It's really content. So you're not necessarily going to be after the broadcast network, which is regardless of where you look, it's got some legs still, especially once again in emerging markets like South Africa. But eventually, we're all going to get our content over the internet. I think everybody's resigned themselves to that broadcast TV is going to become a niche market.
Absolutely, I'd imagine that ANN7 is going cheap at the moment.
No comment.
All right. No comment. Indeed. Top ADSL and 5 by ISPs in South Africa. Who are they?
Yeah. So this is our quarterly rankings that we do. So what we do is we send out a survey to our user base, and we get feedback from everybody, and we ask them to rate the quality of the service and the support and the quality of the actual connection that they receive from these guys and whether it's value for money or not. And this quarter, drum roll, please, let's count them down. Let's go fifth place because the difference between fifth and sixth is a few percentage points. Mm-hmm. Fifth place is AfriHost with an average score of 7.68. We ask people to rank stuff out of 10. Then in fourth place, we have Crystal Web with an average score of 7.73. Third place, Web Africa, 7.75. Mm-hmm. Vox with 7.83. And top of the pops is Access with an average score of 7.88.
And then, sorry, the studio audience got very carried away there.
Very well done, very well done. So, and then we roll up these quarterly rankings into an overall ranking. Mm-hmm. And then at our conference in October, we'll announce overall winners in various categories. Amazing. for network providers in South Africa.
Very interesting indeed. DStv now for iOS adds support for Chromecast.
Yes, so DStv Now is a streaming platform, which those of you without DStv Premium wouldn't know that it exists, I think. Mm-hmm. It's just started rolling out for people on lower tier packages. And something that especially folks on higher-end packages have been asking for is please, let me send it to my big screen TV over a Chromecast. And it looks like DStv has finally allowed it. So as far as I know, it already works on Android.
Right.
And now they've added Chromecast support for iOS.
I want to have a conversation with you in the coming weeks about the future of television from your perspective, because I keep looking at DStv and the Netflixes and the web-based environments, and I just wonder, when I'm sitting at night and I'm going through catch-up and I can't find anything to watch, I just keep looking at my own perspective and thinking, how long will I put up with this drivel for that I'm paying a lot of money for? The minute I get fiber in our area, should it ever really happen, please God, why would I even bother with traditional TV stations?
Yes, and this is where the delivery mechanism is going to kind of become meaningless eventually. I mean, for a lot of people, don't have the luxury of fiber. They don't have the luxury of uncapped internet. And so they don't have the choice, really, of something like Netflix or Showmax, MultiChoice's sister, DStv sister, the VOD sister over there. It's going to come down to who's got what you want to watch. And so I'm in the fortunate position of actually now maintaining subscriptions for Netflix, Showmax, and Amazon Prime. But the fact is, there's only so many hours in the day. And despite the fact that Amazon Prime is cheap, American Gods is finished. And so there's nothing on the platform that really excites me at this point.
Right.
So I've switched back to watching some things, other stuff on the other platform. So I'm going to cancel that subscription, or rather pause it. until such time as there's something on Amazon that I want to watch.
Okay, so just hold on. I actually have to come back to this whole American Gods thing. For anybody who has no idea what we're talking about, it's a very, very bizarre series that my kids told me I absolutely have to watch. By the time I got to my fifth head being chopped off very violently, I actually didn't continue it. Is it worth watching? Must I persevere on this?
honestly, in my not so humble opinion, the first five episodes were the best. So if you didn't enjoy those, don't keep watching. It kind of lost that creative flair that it had in the beginning of the series. It was just so exquisitely shot, so exquisitely edited, and sort of as more of the story and as more of the stories of the characters start to emerge. They start going for like a more, classic, series type of approach, something like a Game of Thrones or, another high profile, high budget series. And then, it kind of loses that thing that made it special, that made it unique.
Right.
With like almost a Pulp Fiction-y, disjointed, style of storytelling that was just incredibly visually satisfying. Except, of course, if you have something against gore, then not so visually satisfying, I think. Right.
And that's where we leave it. Jan Vermeulen, he's the technology editor and apparently entertainment editor as well at My Broadband. He's giving us tips on some series and what we should or shouldn't be watching. Jan, you have a fantastic day. Thank you, as always, for your time.